Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to Take a Mania, Seth said in the previous segment, I didn't think anything of it because I've done the same thing. Like, you were just looking around for something to eat. There was bread. There was cheese. There was mayo. And you made a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
Texter has questions about your cheese sandwich. So many questions. Really only has two. Thin or thick sliced cheese? Was this a grilled cheese or just a cold cheese sandwich?
If it was a grilled cheese, I would have said a grilled cheese sandwich, obviously.
Yeah.
But my wife goes to bed earlier than me a lot, and I don't want to wake her up with the smell of grilled cheese wafting, into her room.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't have the issues I do. See, if I woke up at 11 p.m. and I smelled grilled cheese, I'm going to be out in the kitchen.
To the kitchen.
Yes. But for some reason, I treat her like she's me. So, no, it was just cold cheese. And then I cut it off of I don't buy sliced cheese, okay? Yeah. I slice it myself, either with a slicer or with a butcher's knife. On this particular evening, it was big old slabs of cheese with a butcher's knife.
Big slabs.
On whole wheat bread,
You would call it thick cheese then, thick cut cheese.
Yeah, thick cheese on whole wheat bread and with mayonnaise.
With mayonnaise, okay. Is your mayonnaise a particular brand, or are you a generic mayonnaise guy?
I don't know. My wife gets the stuff that's made with avocado oil.
So it's fancy. Yeah. It sounds like kind of a fancy cheese sandwich.
It's not fancy. It's that I just don't like to have seed oil or whatever in my.
But you got wheat bread. You got cheddar. Is it cheddar cheese? You said it's a cheddar.
Yeah. Extra sharp
wheat bread. Cheese. Extra sharp cheddar cheese. Avocado mayo. Man, in my house, it is Kroger white bread.
Yeah.
Kraft single. With the generic mayo, man. Mine is a blue-collar cheese sandwich. You're a little fancy, is all I'm saying.
I like, I don't even want to tell you when I do. Yeah, I like making homemade mayo as well, too. So there's that, yeah.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know what's in mayo. For 56 years I've been on this earth.
Egg yolks, oil, and then you can either use vinegar or lemon juice. I like lemon juice.
Okay. Wow. Seth
it's pretty simple. There's a lot of stuff you eat that's super, super simple to make.
Okay, now here's what I need: a great condiment war amongst the 610 staff. I need you to start your own version of the OG mayo to go against John Lopez's OG barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Let's see who can move more. The OG.
Dude, that would be, I should make my own mayo and I could call it Cracker Ass Racist.
Yes.
Like I called myself yesterday morning.
Certain parts of the country, that'll sell really well. Yeah.
There, I got three DMs, like complimentary DMs on me calling myself a Cracker Ass Racist yesterday.
That's beautiful.
All from peoples of color.
Yeah, right.
Seth, I like that you acknowledge that you're a Cracker Ass Racist.
Ironically, it was the most unifying thing that's happened on this show in years, was Seth calling himself a cracker ass racist.
Cracker ass racist mayo.
All right.
When you want to keep it real.
And white. Yeah. All right.
Take a mania.
Let's get to Take a Mania. Here's the reigning defending champion on Take a Mania. It's a two-headed monster, a tag team, if you will. Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp on former Florida. Oh, now maybe on the practice squad for Tampa? I'm not sure. I don't know if Tampa just out and out cut him.
Yeah.
But this would be a reason why Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp would hate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How they handled Desmond Watson.
The Buccaneers waived Desmond Watson, the former Gator rookie listed at 449 pounds with the Bucs. Are the Bucs giving up with Big Dez too soon, Ocho?
I would like for him to allow him to play and see how he plays at the size he's at now. He played at that size at Florida, so I understand what you guys are trying to do for safety reasons, but it's how he played at Florida. So why draft him if you're not going to allow him to play the game of football? Why not let him finish out his childhood dream? Why didn't you put him through the ringer like that?
He's 6'5".
Yeah. Big boy.
He only going to get so small through diet and exercise. He's 6'5"? Yeah. You're not going to get him to 350. Because if you get him to 350, he can't play football. Because you've taken all his strength away.
Hold on. If he's – how much Vita Vea weigh, huh?
Vita Vea probably 350.
So, he's 365. Desmond Watson, what, 365?
450.
Oh,
It's a horrible take.
We can't. I love that take so much. Yeah. It's so bad, and yet I enjoy it without even laughing at them. It's Shannon Sharpe acting like somehow getting to 350 would be a miracle of modern science because he's 6'5" after
right,
all.
Right, right,
And then Ocho Cinco acting like the Bucks owe it to this guy so he can live out his childhood dream, as opposed to every other single guy who gets cut from a team.
Yep.
Or any guy who's currently on the roster and managing his weight properly has a dream of playing in the NFL.
Yep.
But then also him just not being aware of just how big he is.
Well, and the funny thing is, hey, Ben, can you play just the first 5 seconds of that thing again? I mean, Shannon Sharpe says it at the very beginning here.
Yeah. The Buccaneers waived Desmond Watson, the former Gator rookie, listed at 449 pounds.
Bingo, that's all we need.
Yeah. I mean, I can't fault Ultra Sinker for that one. I've done that many a time where you recite a quote and I'm like, oh, what's that you said there now?
I know. I just want to point it out that Shannon Sharpe did put it out there on that.
And I'm not hating on those guys for that take. No. I admire the 6'5" thing just gets me.
This is the friendliest Take-A-Mania champ. Like, this is the friendliest we've been to a Take-A-Mania champ in the history of us doing this segment. All right, so let's see if anybody can take them down. Here's Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, following their loss to the Denver Broncos, where he should have challenged a catch made by wide receiver Alec Anemayor, however you pronounce his name, the kid from Stanford. Elbow came down in bounds. Got called an incomplete pass. Should have challenged it, but Brian Callahan says, no, you guys don't know the rule.
Is there a challenge on the Isle Manor play where they moved out of bounds on the sideline? It looked like his elbow hit inbounds first.
Yeah, you got to get a foot inbounds too, which we didn't have a clean look at whether his foot was down as well. An elbow doesn't equal 2 feet, so his foot would have had to come down as well. We didn't have a clean look, so the call from upstairs was that it wasn't worth challenging.
The only thing about it, it's horrible. I feel like to be a Take-A-Mania champ, he should have been more of a jerk about it.
Yeah.
He sounded pretty matter-of-fact, and he was 100% wrong.
Yeah.
But he wasn't taking the reporter to task and being like, what are you talking about, you idiot?
Right.
So, he doesn't, because it's not as entertaining.
Yep.
And because he didn't go full jerk on it. No, he doesn't overtake that.
Does not win. All right.
It's a really, really
It's a horrible mistake.
Yeah.
Is a mistake a take? Just because you need take to spell mistake.
Yeah, it was just a really, really misinformed statement more so than it was a take.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Good call.
Let's stick with the Titans here and Cam Ward. I love when players do this. Here was Cam Ward talking about how difficult it was for his offensive line to block the Broncos in their game on Sunday.
So that's just stuff that, I got to get better at week by week. And then at the end of the day, nobody going to be perfect. I want y'all to get up there and try to block one of them big boys on the D-line. It ain't that easy. So
that's all we need.
Yeah,
we need the rest of it. I want y'all. He's in a room full of fat, out-of-shape media people.
Like, hey, listen, I know that the guys that were paying $10 to $20 million a year to block those guys weren't doing it, but can you, an English lit major, block them either?
All right, so is that a bad take?
Okay, my stance on when guys are trying to defend their teammates or your own children or something, really, really hard. It's really hard to get Take-A-Mania champ with that. So, and also, I did want to, when I saw it in transcript, it read worse than it sounded.
Yep.
I think he didn't really sound like he was being a jerk about it or anything. So no, he doesn't overtake the
champ. He does not win. Yep. All right. Kicks out again. Ocho and Shannon Sharpe. Boy, they have taken down a lot of challengers here. They've run the gauntlet. Yeah. All right. This one's a short one. We've talked a lot this week about that Browns-Ravens game on Sunday. Most of it within the framework of the Ravens celebrating the 30th anniversary of Art Modell bringing the team to Baltimore in front of the very team that they used to be, the Cleveland Browns. And a lot of Cleveland people think this is a big middle finger to the Browns. This take has nothing to do with that. This is purely player on player. Grant Delpit, the safety for the Cleveland Browns, was asked if it's hard, how hard is it to tackle Baltimore Ravens running back Derrick Henry?
How hard is he to bring down?
Not hard.
I mean, we're playing football, man. It's tackle football. Somebody got the ball, you got to bring them down.
Okay, now that's the entire take. That is an incorrect take. The stats would bear out it's hard to bring him down.
Now, Grant Delpit, he had a really hard hit to Derrick Henry last year. And the Browns have actually done better than you'd expect, or better than most teams versus Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And they're talking a lot of smack all over
it's
the
wild,
place.
Dude.
Jerry Judy's been talking smack.
Yes.
There's a lot of smack talk going on there. It's not just Jim Schwartz's guys on defense. This is one, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. Wait, let me check the rules. Yes, I am. I want to table this until next week.
Okay.
Because if Grant Delpit misses a single tackle in this game, and especially if Derrick Henry goes off for 200-some yards, we'll make our final judgment on this one next week after we've seen this game play
out. It's wrestling, man. We can make up whatever rules we want. Yeah.
If Delpit gets trucked, this is going to win next week.
Is this the most interesting game that has a double-digit spread that there's been in a long, long time? I'm super intrigued.
Is it double digits?
It's 10.5 points the Ravens are favored.
Did it open at 8.5?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay, but it's double digits right now.
Yeah, it's double digits, yeah.
But yeah, I believe it is, and part of that is because the Browns' defense has had some good games against the Browns have beaten Lamar Jackson two of the last three times they've faced him. We've never beaten Lamar Jackson here in Houston.
No.
I stand impressed by the Cleveland Browns.
We've never come close to beating Lamar Jackson in Houston.
Lamar Jackson barely thinks of the Texans as an NFL football team.
Rightfully so. It's been a destruction every single time.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this next one, the bad take is not by J.J. Watt in this next one. This is J.J. Watt on the McAfee Show. The bad take comes at the very end of this by the mullet-headed minion of McAfee's right there. Is it Connor? Is that Connor the one?
I think so, yeah.
The guys that sit off to the side, like the two old guys in the Muppet Show.
Those are like his boyhood buddies.
Yeah,
right?
I know. They are hell of a job of riding some coattails, man. Like they're doing good.
I think he makes them work. I think McAfee makes them work.
He should.
Yeah, he should.
So take a listen. I agree with all of what J.J. Watt is talking about because he is talking about getting rid of one of the things that I think is the scourge of society, the center part in his hair. But then Connor makes an awful recommendation at the end of this.
I'll tell you what, Jage, the hair is a little bit mesmerizing whenever it pops up underneath that hat.
It's great.
It's very full. You got a very full head of hair.
Scissors. Yeah, there's a lot up there. There is a lot up there.
Are you just going to keep it going? Maybe you should put that Mr. Incredible look some people say that to me once in a while when my hair gets a little bit too long. But for you, you could actually do the
Jimmy Neutron.
I'm really trying hard to. I don't love that it parts in the middle when I'm on the air. Trying to figure out how to part it a different way because I do not want to keep the middle part rolling.
Well, you can do that hard part that kind of forces your hair to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can rock the middle part though. The middle part, I can't do the middle part of my hair at all. You can rock the middle part, so I wouldn't just abandon it after week one. You should give it a little time, see if you like it.
Terrible recommendation. The center part is awful.
The center part
is almost
never a good look.
Yeah.
It hasn't been throughout time in history.
Right, right.
There were times where back in the 30s or whenever when guys would have that greased center cut, like with a really or in the 80s when you'd have the moosed up center cut. It's never been a good look.
No.
Ever.
No.
And JJ's does always seem like kind of a little bit windblown.
Yeah.
I know JJ, I'm going to give you credit. For JJ actually gets a lot more social media attention for his hairs and switching it up because usually it still looks like he's a bigger guy, but he's trying to have a stylish haircut, and people love to have fun with that. And I think JJ knows it, so I think he just kind of leans into the hilarity of it all.
The one thing that JJ has not had with it, by the way, does that take win or does it not win?
No, it doesn't win.
Yeah,
no,
it doesn't win. No, okay, yeah. So that's I didn't think it would.
Endorse it. I encourage them. They're encouraging him to keep that thing going on.
You're glad
nobody's
they did
ever.
That.
No, JJ looks like he's perpetually like he could be doing better with his hair.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen him just try a nice Just like a really good high fade, like a Kyle Shanahan type or something.
I don't know that.
Especially if you go to, if you get a really nice high fade as a white boy, you get a certain level of respect from your teammates too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know. So maybe his head just isn't shaped right for it.
It's a unifying haircut right there.
There's nothing better when you get a really good high fade and black guys are giving you compliments on it. You're like, yeah, that's right.
You've had that before. Like one of the most famous pictures of you, your headshot early on in your career. You had that, right? Like it's. Did you?
Oh, the most famous headshots of me?
I mean, well, the one.
Oh, where my neck is huge.
The one that makes its rounds among Texan fans. You had
if
kind
you
of
do
that
it
thing
right.
Going.
You don't. I think JJ's worried he's going to look like a meathead, but that's why you got to get a really good high fade.
Right.
One of the women that used to cut my hair was one of the best compliments she ever received was when somebody on Twitter had said "Black Barber Seth," and I brought it to her, and she was like, "Oh,
wow, yeah." And ironically, that cut on a cracker ass racist too.
Yes, that was on cracker ass racist mayo has got to have to be me with a perfect fade. Yeah,
big neck shot. All right, last one here because I think this one's got a shot. It's been. I mean, Ocho and Shannon are just plowing through all these guys right now in the take-a-mania. Last one. This is from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, who earlier this week, when asked about the expense of streaming NBA games these days, basically said, it's okay, the poors have highlights to watch on social media.
There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free. I mean, this is very much a highlights-based sport, you know, so, you know, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, you name it, any service, you know, the New York Times for that matter, to the extent that your content is not behind a paid firewall. There's an enormous amount of content out there, YouTube, by another example, that is advertising based that consumers can consume.
Okay.
This is a tough one for me because part of it is a lot of it has to do with like the core issue that the NBA has in people consuming only the highlights. It's a height of irony for him to give a bad answer about how people should be happy with not being able to watch the game while also kind of saying the opposite of what they're probably saying behind closed doors, is that, man, the younger generation seems to care about highlights and individuals more than they do the teams themselves or the actual games.
Yep.
That and yet, I feel like it just doesn't reach... It doesn't reach the emotional side of me, or it doesn't make me laugh the same way Shannon and Chad Johnson do.
Okay, let me give you one more. I'll make one more nugget of not. I'm not argue it. I'm kind of on the Ocho and Shannon side of this. This is to me why I find this take offensive with Adam Silver, is that the biggest thing they've been trying to do in the NBA for the last few years is find a way to make the games. Every game feels somehow important amidst this wave of load management. Man, they're making rules where guys have to play a certain number of games to be eligible for awards. Like, that has been the scourge of the league has been our regular season doesn't mean anything anymore. He basically just said none of the games mean anything because you can watch the highlights.
It's Rob Manfred saying that the trophy is just a hunk of metal.
It is.
That's part of it. You know what? You know what, Seth? It can't be all about your own selfish desires anymore. And as much as I want to keep listening to that Shannon Sharpe and Chad Johnson take over and over again, we've got a new champion.
We need a new champ. The pin.
It was linking Rob Manfred's comment about the World Series trophy being just a hunk of metal.
Yeah.
That did
it's
it
on
for
that
me.
Level.
Yes.
This
was really, really bad. This was a horrible, horrible take.
This might be this. And by the way, there's no rule that says we can't keep playing that one every week, that Ocho and Shannon one. We can do that if we want to. This might be if we're using the metaphor of wrestling and Adam Silver pinning Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharpe, this might be the least realistic imagery of someone pinning somebody. Skinny ass alien looking Adam Silver. Pinning Shannon Sharpe and Ochocinco.
You know what the best thing about this is? That one of Shannon Sharpe's core arguments was, how could you expect Desmond Watson to get down to 350? He's 6'5". Well, Let me present 6'3" Adam Silver. Tell me how far.
6'3", buck 45.
Sure, he weighs less than 350 pounds, but it's because he's only 6'3".
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. That's 2 inches.
If he were 6'5", he'd be 350 at least.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to ChatGPT right now, and I'm saying, please create an image of Adam Silver at 365 pounds.
Watching highlights on his phone.
Yes. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll get to the Texans in the final segment. Tom Brady was on with Colin Cowherd yesterday and had one of the more interesting things. I think one of the most interesting things that I've heard in discussing the development of quarterbacks. And I think you can look at CJ Stroud through a certain prism in hearing what Brady has to say about this. We'll do that coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.